Looking for the perfect Valentine's Day gift for you or your partner? Look no further than WeVibe. WeVibe creates some of our favorite sex toys, like the WeVibe Melt, and they are renowned for their couples vibrators. Not with your partner on this special day? There is nothing better than their WeConnect app. The WeConnect app lets your partner connect to your vibrator from anywhere in the world, allowing you to both enjoy long-distance intimacy. Their products are designed for and inspired by real bodies, real connection, and pure pleasure. More about WeVibe and how to get their toys at a discount later on in the show.
But I won't complain and I won't quit. I am enormous. Get used to it. Everyone tells me I'm too much. Maybe it's just you're not enough for me. Can't you see? I'm the kind of woman I'm supposed to be.
Hi there, and welcome to the Body Storytelling Podcast. I am sexual folklorist Dixie De La Tour, and on this week's episode, we have a story from fellow pervert and Risk Podcast host, Kevin Allison. But first, it is hump day of Valentine's week, and I hope your week is going great. Mine is going pretty good. The other day, I was sitting at home working. I'd pretty much stayed in all weekend, and it was Sunday morning about 11 a.m., and somebody posted on social media that their partner was sick, and they weren't going to be able to use their tickets to Hamilton at 1 p.m. that day. And without even thinking, I responded, "Oh my God, I want to see Hamilton so bad." Well, the person who posted, Meg, is someone who helps out with my show every month, because she and her new husband, one of their very first dates was at Body Storytelling. She has my number because she's on my volunteer team. And she called me right away and said, "I want to give these tickets to you." And I'm like, wait, I didn't think it through. I can't afford tickets to Hamilton. And of course you want to make your face value back. And she goes, "Do you know how much you give to me every single month? Do you know how much fun we have being part of Body? Please take these tickets." So I protested a little bit more. I really wanted to protest, but I really wanted the tickets at the same time. And then I had to get off the phone with her and figure out who I was going to take. Have you ever tried to find somebody for something this enticing with a little over an hour to make it happen? Get through the front door, park your ass in a theater, see a show on a very, very tight timeline on a weekend in the middle of the day. It's difficult. The first person I called was just landing and had just gone wheels down in London. Probably wasn't going to be going with him. I started contacting friends. One had the creeping crud that was the original reason the people couldn't use their tickets. My door person, Ty, couldn't go. Everybody had this reason, and I was not surprised at all. I'm in Tahoe. I'm in London. I'm sick. Totally as I expected it would go with such a short timeline, because if you live in a major metropolitan city, you know it is impossible to get people to come together ever, much less with less than 2 hours notice. So I'm going through my list and I contact Mosa Maxwell Smith, last week's storyteller. And I know that she often has her child on the weekend. I know this is the day she has her child, but what the hell, I'm going to ask. And I message her and say, "Hey, I've got tickets for Hamilton. Do you want to be my date? It starts in about an hour." And she responded, "I receive. I accept. Thank you." And I was like, "What? Hippie? What did that mean?" She said, "Sorry, just got out of yoga and ecstatic dance. And right now my partner, my ex-husband, has my child. Perfect. Perfect timing. Let me see if I can get him to keep her for the afternoon so I can go to Hamilton." Mosa and I are storytelling geeks who never get to hang out together. And suddenly it was happening. We met at the Orpheum Theater. We walked in giggling. We could not believe our good fortune. Both of us had always wanted to see Hamilton. She knew the score backwards and forwards. I hadn't really listened to the score since it first came out, but I knew I really wanted to see this. So we just could not believe how lucky we were. We could not stop thanking the person who gave us those amazing tickets. It was a fantastic day, totally out of the blue, expected to work all day, still behind on work, but it was worth it. And, you know, as I said, this week is Valentine's Day. So I want to tell you about my Valentine's Day tradition. My partner, Bent, knows that my favorite flowers are those red tulips with the little yellow flame edges. I love those things. I love tulips, but those are my particular favorite. Every year, he pretty much gets those, and that's great. I'm so thrilled to have someone who gets me flowers on Valentine's Day. I am certainly not complaining. But last year, I was on the road, and I had to do a show on Valentine's Day. And so I said, we're going to celebrate a day late. I think you're not going to have any luck finding those tulips the day after Valentine's Day. Everybody's going to be cleaned out. So I'd like to ask for a different kind of bouquet. He's like, okay, what am I getting? I said, I want a bouquet of crab legs. I love crab. You love crab. I would like you to get like six of them, like six long-stemmed roses, except they're crab legs. And we will have a little feast together. It'll be something, a bouquet that both of us can enjoy. So last year on the 15th, I got off a plane. We steamed those crab legs together. We got covered in butter. So happy, so satisfied. And it's become one of my favorite things to do now. Every time something special comes up, like our 10th anniversary that was a few months ago, I was like, bouquet of crab legs. This year, I gave him plenty of notice. I'm like, the tulips are great. You can give me the tulips too if you want, but it's bouquet of crab legs time. And then he doesn't know this part, but I went and I got all the accoutrements for like the perfect presentation for a Valentine's Day crab leg meal. I went out and got crab crackers. I got the picks that pull all the meat out. I got a bunch of fancy little plates, serving plates and everything like that, that are all themed. And I got those ramekins that sit on top of tea lights so you can keep your butter warm to dip your crab legs in. So we're going to have this huge meal, and it's going to be Caesar salad with extra lemon. That's my new favorite thing, thanks to Tanya Gilstrap, who turned me on to lemon on top of a Caesar salad. And crab legs and butter. And I was talking to a friend today who's Mexican, and he says, oh my God, that is the most brilliant thing I've ever heard. A bouquet of crab legs for Valentine's Day. I'm going to do that for my partner. He says, you know what I'm going to do to add to it though? We're Mexican. So for dessert, we're going to have chocolate covered grasshoppers. And I said, look at us making the holiday our own thing. Just fits us perfectly. So I hope this year, whatever you're doing, whether it's going to one of those events where they talk about how awful love is, or one of those things where you get to make Valentine's Day your own. Take a Hallmark holiday and turn it into whatever pleases you. I hope you make it your own this year. I hope you celebrate in the way that feels good for you. I'm not anybody who loves made-up holidays, but it's an excuse to be nice to people. It's an excuse to talk about love. It's not about romance for me so much as it is that warm feeling that you get for everybody you love, not just a romantic partner. This episode feels really special to me because it's on Valentine's Day, a day that I love to celebrate. I am pretty damn thrilled to get to tell you about one of my favorite products, Uberlube. Lube is the key to maximizing pleasure, whether you're alone or with a partner. And if you're gonna lubricate, you want to make sure it's done with the highest quality, most body-safe ingredients. And when it comes to lube, nothing beats Uberlube. If you haven't tried it yet, it's a high-grade silicone lubricant made from clean, body-friendly ingredients. And Uberlube's measured pumps allow you to dispense the perfect amount of product every time, even in the dark. Uberlube offers long-lasting performance when you want it, then quickly dissipates without leaving a sticky residue. It feels like a nice moisturizer when you're finished. It won't stain your clothing or your bedding, and any spills can be easily cleaned with detergent and water. And there's no flavor or scent to Uberlube. It's great for all kinds of play, vaginal, anal, oral. And Uberlube is latex compatible, so it's safe and effective for use with condoms. Since lube is supposed to enhance touch and not overpower it, Uberlube provides just the right amount of slip while still allowing for skin-on-skin sensations. Right now, Uberlube is offering Body Storytelling listeners a special offer. 10% off and free shipping when you use my code DIXIE at uberlube.com. 10% off and free shipping. And since Uberlube works well underwater, I want to tell you a secret. It's perfect for sex with that special mermaid, merman, or merperson. It's the best for fun in pools, lakes, and tubs. I really do love Uberlube, and I think you will too. Uberlube lets you feel what you want to feel. So go to uberlube.com right now and use the code Dixie for 10% off and free shipping. Our storyteller this week, and you already know how excited I am about this week. Our storyteller this week is the inimitable Kevin Allison of the Risk Podcast. Kevin and I have been friends for years and years, united over the fact that we're perverts who love storytelling. We have done multiple collaboration shows, and you've probably heard most of my stories on the Risk Podcast. A lot of people found me through the Risk Podcast. And we've done so many collaboration shows and shared so many stories. But when I came to New York back in October while I was on tour, Kevin was thrilled to finally be on stage at Body Storytelling. I'd been on stage at Risk many, many times. But this was the first time he could ever be a guest at a Body that wasn't a collaboration show, that was just me doing what I did. It was such a good story, and I've been saving it, especially for this week. This week's storyteller is the infamous Kevin Allison.
Thank you so much. It is such an honor to be here. I love Body Storytelling so goddamn much. Now, I am one kinky motherfucker. And as such, I've always had this philosophy that I like to tell people, and that is, I tell people, I'll try anything twice. And unlike some of my other rules of thumb, I actually try to live up to this one. Now, about 10 years ago is where I got the idea for this philosophy, because it was the first time a guy had ever asked to piss in my mouth. And it was delicious. But about a week later, I tried it again with another fella, and not so much. We then realized he had had asparagus for lunch. So that's where I got the philosophy. If it had gone the other way, then I wouldn't have learned what a piss pig I am today, right? So when I first started off in kink, again, about 10 years ago, I had a lot of what they call dominant anxiety. Do you know what that is? That is, if you're going to engage in some kink play and you're supposed to be the dom, the top person in the play, you might have this feeling of, oh shit, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. You know, like, the dom is supposed to be the master and the know-it-all and that, like, Christian Grey, 50 Shades sort of, you know, just talented at everything, a billionaire and all that. I don't really feel that way most of the time. So when I arranged this kink date with this one guy, he wanted to be the submissive, and he wanted me to be the dom, and I was like, I'm gonna do this. But I began to get very afraid about this date, because the more I learned about him, the more spectacular he seemed, the more impressive he seemed. It was this fella named Do. He was from Korea. He was a sculptor, and I looked at his art online, and I was like, oh my God, he's a genius. how do I dom this guy, right? So I started to get that anxiety going, and I talked to other people in the kink community, and they were like, sweetheart, love, don't worry about it. If you're worried about doming someone for the first time, just put a blindfold on them, and they won't be able to see how much you're fucking things up. They literally won't be able to see you sweat. So I thought, okay, let's give that a try. So I Duke comes over to my apartment, and he's really cute, and he's really impressive, and I put that blindfold on him, and I tell him, your safe word will be red, and as soon as that blindfold is good and tight, he melts into my arms like a piece of wet spaghetti, and I just thought, oh... He is so good at this submissiveness stuff that maybe my job won't be so hard after all. So I tie him to my bed, and he's all ready to go. I'm ready to start playing with all his bits. Now, I had a rescue cat at that time who was one of those problem felines. His name was Mr. Pooh. But he wasn't quite as cute in personality as his name was. Mr. Pooh was a troubled cat that had been found on the streets of Queens and still had his balls, even though he was quite old. And so he was more or less a mountain lion, is what I'm getting at. I would take him to the vet and they would be like, we don't want that. He terrified people. He would lash out at people. So anyway, Dew is tied to my bed, and that's when Mr. Pooh jumps up on the bed, and I was like, oh no, oh God, I'm so embarrassed. I'm gonna look like I don't have my mojo if the cat's on the bed. But Dew didn't see anything, he's blindfolded. So I grabbed the cat, and that is when Mr. Pooh sunk one of his fangs as deep as he could into my thumb. I dropped the cat, and I am telling you, I didn't know this happened in real life, but a fountain of blood starts just squirting, and it goes with the heartbeat too, so it's all over the room, and I'm just like freaking out. It reminds me of like a Monty Python sketch or something. I'm like, but I'm worried that Dew is gonna see this or something, and I'm racing around looking for something to tie around my thumb, and finally I crash into a light fixture and it falls to the ground and illuminates all the blood I've gotten on the floor, which makes me go, ah! And the screaming makes the blood shoot further into Dew's face. At which point I just start yelling, red, red, red! And Dew is blindfolded. He's like, you're safe wording? I said, yes. Well, that is the night that I learned that you can tell your submissive, you can order them to take you to the hospital. And we actually became the best of friends that night. That was the night that Dew said to me in the waiting room, he was like, well, you've kind of accidentally had your very first experience of blood play. And he's like, and according to your philosophy, that means you have to do it at least once again. Cut to 1 month ago. I met this super adorable, sexy boy on a BDSM site. That's how most of my stories start. And we're talking back and forth. He was in his early 20s, so he was pretty new to kink. And he said to me, you know, I got to be honest with you. I'm so new. I don't even know how to describe what it is I'm into. And I said, I'll tell you what. Why don't I take you out to dinner? And we can talk. We can just talk through what's ever going on in your head about all that. And he said, great. Well, we had dinner. It was fabulous. He was so cute. He was so sexy, so smart. Halfway through dinner, I said, okay. Let's hear about some of these kinky ideas you have in your head, what you think you might be curious about. And I'll share some of mine, you know, some of my kinks with you in between. He said, great. He said, well, the first one, it's an image I have in my mind. I'm running through this hallway deep in a sub-basement somewhere, and I realize I'm running from a serial killer with a machete, and the serial killer reaches me at the end of the hall and rips off all my clothes, and before I know it, we are both drenched in each other's blood. I said, okay. He said, what's one of yours? I said, rimming? I like rimming. He said, oh, yours is easier. I said, yeah, yeah, it does seem easier. Well, let's try again. Do you have any others? He's like, oh, I've got, yeah, at least two others. He said, well, the other one is, I'm one of the X-Men, but one of the rarer ones, and it's a custom-made suit that has parts that you can rip off to get to the genitals, and I realize I'm running through this hallway and being pursued by another one of the X-Men, who finally catches up to me and rips off my clothes, and before I know it, we're both drenched in each other's blood. I said, okay. He said, what's another one of yours? I said, pee. I tend to like the body and things that come out of the body like on a normal day. I said, well, what's the third? He said, well, okay, the third one is I'm at this gala event and all the women are in Dior and all the men are in black tie. I'm like, fuck, this one involves casting? And he said, I'm the only one there who somehow is nude. And at a certain point, everyone at the party realizes I'm nude, at which point they descend upon me and start chasing me down a hallway. And before I know it, we're all drenched in each other's blood. I said, you know what? I'm going to have to think about these ideas of yours. I was so upset because I was like, oh, he's so cute. But how am I going to make that stuff happen? And it was on my way home that I had a eureka moment. You're not, you know, I always feel like you shouldn't text someone right after a first date, but I was so excited that I texted him on my walk home from the date. I said, hey, wait a minute. I think I thought of a way that this might work, that I could make those fantasies of yours come true. Have you ever tried erotic hypnosis? Like, what if I learned erotic hypnosis and made all that stuff happen in your mind? And he said, I think I would love that. So, I've been studying erotic hypnosis for the past month. And I'm very eager to try it with my friend because you know what? I do like to think I'll try anything twice, but in reality, I really don't know that I want to be drenched in each other's blood. Thank you very much.
Down on this, down on this, down on this, down on this. I know you got the reservations. Starvation like a third world nation. So do it for the children and I'll make a donation. My flies in your eyes, let me rise and be a kitchen in my underoos. I tend to be brief, so when you're sticking your teeth deep into my beef, you can follow, but it's kinda like McDonald's realize it's just a happy meal, so you can't supersize it. Don't go hold the pickle, then you went and blew it, cooking off in the special sauce that comes included, but you knew it did. So concentrate the Tropicana. To eat a chiquita, you need to grow the banana. So can you vibe like Dylan on my pita like Chris? Till it's chubby like Checker, come on baby, do the twist. It's on the wrist, a table tennis, so beat me like Betty Crocker King Mix. Yummy!
On this throbbing pull of hot man chicken, and feel free to wiggle dunk this purple bulldog cheeks.
That song was Yummy Down on This by Bloodhound Gang. Want to spice up sex for both you and your partner this Valentine's Day? Well, WeVibe creates the world's best couples vibrators. And WeVibe just launched a brand new couples vibrator, Chorus. Chorus is the most intuitive couples vibrator by WeVibe ever. It's got cutting-edge features like an adjustable fit that means it can be worn during sex and adjusts to fit your body for just right stimulation on both the clitoris and the G-spot. Chorus has this squeeze remote that was designed with the most natural human response in mind. The tighter you squeeze, the stronger the vibration gets, and vice versa. When you want a little bit more or a little bit less stimulation, it's right there. WeVibe's responsive touch sense controls let you control Chorus's vibrations with your movements. When you touch or move against the sensor, the vibration shifts in intensity, creating a natural rise and fall that lead to an absolutely epic crescendo. I like this one. You can play together from anywhere. The WeConnect app lets you play together even when you're apart. Download the free WeConnect app and you can unlock Chorus's touch responsive vibrations, long distance connectivity, and more. And not just that, it's waterproof, body safe, and rechargeable. This Valentine's Day, WeVibe is offering Body Storytelling's listeners a special 5% discount on any product at we-vibe.com. Just use my promo code Dixie, D-I-X-I-E, at we-vibe.com. How did it happen? Somehow, it's romantical holiday season again. And whether you celebrate Valentine's Day, Galentine's Day, or Steak and Blowjob Day, you always have this podcast at the ready. But a live show, that is a special moment in time. If you're a sex and storytelling size queen, you want more. And that's what a live body storytelling is. It's more. And once a month in person, hundreds of people come together and they're always in the mood for a story. This is your chance to come together with a room full of friendly, enlightened, open-minded people. So here's your next chance to feel more connected and less lonely at Body Storytelling. On Wednesday, February 19th, we're at the Rebar to celebrate their 30th anniversary. Our theme is sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and we have Trailer Park Shantou's Miss Honey Bucket as our musical act for this one. She's a peach. Right behind it, it's Body's big 13th anniversary show in San Francisco on Saturday, February 22nd. This show always sells out. And you can get a wristband to see both shows on this two-show night. In fact, I believe there's about one VIP table where you get a VIP gift bag and you sit on the very front row. Our first show at 7 p.m. is My Invited Superstars, and I just landed famous bank robber and podcaster Joe Loya, who will be telling a sex and prison story for us, and it's his first time ever telling it. And then at 10 p.m. that night, our infamous Best of Body show, where you vote to tell us who to put on that stage, and at 10 p.m., they take over the stage. Have you voted yet? Because voting ends this Saturday, February 15th. Get on it. And yes, both of the anniversary shows will feature our friend and musical muse, Rachel Lark. Next month, we've got It Seemed Like a Good Idea at the Time in San Francisco on March 12th, and then the Seattle version of Best of Body on March 19th. Tickets for all of these are on our website at bodystorytelling.com and in the show notes for this episode. I was listening to a podcast the other day, and they were talking about how the global economy has moved from a transactional model and is moving more toward a subscription model. And that's what Patreon is. Patreon is a relationship between you and me. You listen to the podcast, you attend the live shows, and you're not just standing idly by. You're supporting it to make sure that not only do you have this podcast when you need it, but you're ensuring that the people who need to hear it even more than you have it ready and available when they need it. Because when you hear someone's story, you understand them and you judge them less. And that's what storytelling can do, better than anything I've ever seen. And the way that we cover the costs for this podcast are by people supporting us on Patreon. So if you would go to patreon.com/body, B-A-W-D-Y, support us, you're ensuring that all those people who need to have their minds opened have this podcast at the ready, have the live shows at the ready. You're ensuring that an artist who lives in the most expensive city in the U.S. can keep doing this work. So go to patreon.com/body. Give it whatever level you can. Every little bit helps. And thanks in advance for your support. Looks like this is the end. Thank you so much for listening to the Body Storytelling Podcast, and thank you to the team that makes this podcast possible. To podcast producer Marty Garcia, to video archivist Joe Moore, to sound engineer David Grossoff, thank you for telling your friends about this podcast. I am told that most people find the Body Storytelling Podcast because their friends recommend it highly. And you know you want your friends to love it too. How much fun would it be to have your own little podcast made up where you get to talk about that week's episode? You can also do that in the Body Storytelling Fiends and Fans group on Facebook, and there's a link to that in the show notes. I'm sexual folklorist Dixie De La Tour. This has been episode 1010 of the Body Storytelling Podcast. And here's a peek at what's next.
And I found that picture. But what I also found was this beautiful pencil drawing of Sam and Frodo, these little adorable fuzzy hobbits just sucking each other's cocks.